Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. We'll talk fishing and the great outdoors now with Gary Engberg of Madison, or I'm sorry, Mazamani, Wisconsin. He's a professional fisherman and guide. He's an outdoor photographer. He's a columnist, co-host of a Madison-based radio show, and been a regular on our program for a long, long time. It's always been a lot of fun to have Gary with us. And we'll talk about those signs of spring, which are pretty hard to see sometimes out there. I was in Watertown yesterday, and another, I don't know how many inches of snow fell in Watertown yesterday, and nothing fell in Madison, but I think we're at 100 inches for the year. But you know what? It's going to change, and you can get in on it. Maybe you have some questions about fishing or about the outdoors. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Always fun to have you. And now, are you seeing any signs of spring out there?
Yeah, we've had some signs of spring. And actually, till we had this little, I don't know what you want to call it, over the weekend, things were looking pretty good. I mean, we're still talking about, early fishing. I've been keeping a book for about the last 20 years on, different dates and, when fishing starts and when there's a good bite. And usually on the Wisconsin River, and I got to remember the Wisconsin River is open to fishing for walleyes and saugers year-round, but there's usually good fishing the last few days of February, the first week of March. That's when a lot of the big fish, big walleyes are caught. Well, we got water temperature right now about 33, 34 degrees. Last weekend, or the weekend before last, there was maybe 20, 30 boats out below the dam in Prairie du Sac, a few more boats below the dam in Wisconsin Dells, but this weekend there was only about 8. But they're catching a few fish. I mean, the boat landings are wide open everywhere in the state, all the way Castle Rock, Peatonwell, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Dells, Prairie du Sac. But we got to get that water temperature to warm up a little bit and get those fish active. People are catching fish, but, you have to be very, very precise in your presentation, a very, very slow presentation, and you almost have to put your bait right on the fish's nose.
Yeah, I would think I was going to ask you about techniques. What's been working, and slow and precise is really a...
Yeah, what's been working, below the dam, like in Prairie du Sac, there's a scour hole area, and a scour hole is... a deeper water area, a depression in the bottom of the river that was formed when there's very high water and all the gates are open on the dam. And so you have about 40-some feet of water below the dam, and this is for a couple hundred-yard area. So people are fishing the edges of this deeper water. Most people are, anchoring up, and they'll be vertical jigging, a jig and a minnow, a jig and a plastic. Some days just a plain hook and a split shot and a minnow is working well. And having pretty good success. Wisconsin, you're allowed to use 3 rods, so people will be, maybe casting a rod, slowly retrieving that, and then have another dead rod and on the side of the boat just over the side. Now up in the Wisconsin Dells, what's been working there is you have a little more area to work in, a little more area to operate in, and they're not fishing directly below the dam. They're fishing a little bit farther down the river's edge area and down by the cables, and you're able to drift down there, but still keep that jig totally vertical and up and down so you can feel those bites, and you're allowed to get a pretty good drift, and people are pretty courteous, and that's how they're catching the fish there.
All right. What temperature do walleye spawn?
Walleyes will start spawning. The main temperature, what we're looking at, is 42 to 45 degrees. So we have a little ways to go, and the thing is now, all at Wisconsin Dells and at Prairie du Sac, I haven't been to Castle Rock, in a couple weeks. None of the gates are open yet, so you're not getting any of the meltdown or any of the snow coming from up north. And first, we have to get, northern Wisconsin has a good 2 to 3 feet of ice still. Ice fishing is still in full swing, and it's still, you have to be careful getting on the ice down here and be very cautious. And I recommend this time of year always wearing a life jacket. But things are going to pick up slowly and slowly. We just need that water temperature. But it's going to be a ways because, actually the water temperature went down from a couple weeks ago with the colder weather and the snow over the weekend.
Yeah, that's true. Gary Engberg, our guest today as we talk fishing and getting in the out-of-doors with him. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. As you think about that snow melt and water levels go up and flow goes up, what do fish do to conserve that energy, and how does that translate into angling techniques?
Well, that's the main thing, the difference between fishing river fish, fishing lake fish. River fish are constantly have to be battling the current. So ideally, what they like to do is to hide some type of obstruction. I mean, it could be depression in the bottom of the river. It could be rocks. It could be wood, an island, a bridge abutments, a bend in the river, anything that'll break that current, because if they're in that current all the time, you know, they constantly would have to be eating just to maintain their body weight. And that's another good thing about river fishing, is that river fish always have to eat, so there's always going to be a bite somewhere on a river, because it's not like lake fish where, you know, they're not fighting a current. And that's the main thing, though, just looking for something to hide behind. Sometimes it can be a depression just in the bottom of the river of maybe a foot or so, just something to deflect the current. And also, as you get down, and your walleyes are always going to be on the bottom or within a foot of the bottom in rivers, and you can, so you get down close to the bottom, your current is less. But we haven't even gotten the high water and current yet. And there also is a number that people, it's 1-800-242-1071. That's Lion Energy. You can call them and get what the water flow is up and down the dam system, so you can find out what the water flow is farther up and what you're going to be getting in a couple of days.
Oh, so that's, and that's a big help.
That's a very big help. But actually, you know, we've had for years, we haven't had that much water. We need to have a real good spring with high water to fill up a lot of the backwaters, the sloughs, fill up all the reservoirs on the way down here. And actually, high water, it's like you turn on a switch as far as river fishing goes. It improves that much. People have to remember, when you have high water, the fish are going to move in close to shore. That's another way to get out of the current. They'll be in a foot or two of water up in the brush and ashore, you know, that's because that's where the forage and the minnows are going to be. And that's where they'll be, and not out in the middle. As the water recedes and you get going back to your normal levels, then fish will relate more to your first break line and your channel edge.
Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, professional fisherman and guide. He's also an outdoor photographer, columnist, co-host of the Madison-based radio show Outdoors Horizons. With us here on the Ideas Network, give us a call if you have a question or comment for him. The number is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Larry Mueller with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking fishing in the great outdoors today with Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, professional fisherman and guide. He's also an outdoor photographer, columnist, and co-host of a Madison-based radio show. It's called Outdoors Horizons. I'm Larry Mueller here. Pleased to have you listening in. Give us a call if you have a question as we talk fishing in the outdoors with Gary at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Gary, we've got Bert in Rice Lake who's been waiting a while. So let's go to Bert there. Hi, Bert.
Hi, Bert.
Hey, hi, Larry and Gary. Really enjoy your show. And just have one quick question for you. My understanding that the DNR revise their crazy minnow policies and rules that they have for us this year. I think they did anyway, but Gary, could you comment on that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Okay, well, with the VHS disease spread, and now there's another, too. We just had another disease that popped up in Sturgeon Bay. It just affects northerns and muskies. But get to back to VHS. You're allowed now, if you're going fishing on a certain body of water and you buy your minnows, you cannot take those minnows from the body of water that you initially fished on and use them anywhere else. Those minnows have to be taken out of your live well and taken out of your minnow buckets and thrown up on shore or put in a Ziploc and then disposed of. Don't dump them in the lake, but you can't take the same minnows and use them on another body of water. And also, you got to be very, very careful to make sure that you clean any weeds or milfoil or anything from the bottom of your boat. And it's also a good idea when you get home to really hose down your boat and clean it up well. And you can take a 5-gallon pail and fill it up with a half a cup of bleach and then water, and it's a good disinfectant. But you can't be transferring minnows. Even it's illegal if you're, say, you're fishing on the Mississippi River from one pool to another. You can't even transfer your minnows. So you're going to have to work out something, either buy fresh bait on every body of water you go on. But it's, you know, it's for the anglers and for our own good, because, you know, we've had this VHS pop up. It's devastated parts of Lake Huron and the Upper Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence Seaway. That affects all species of fish. And it also is very, very, it's probably at its peak in cooler water temperatures. After 65, it's, you know, but when we'll have water in the 40s and 50s is the time where it's really prevalent.
All right. Thanks for calling. Todd in Deerfield, your turn. Hi, Todd.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Oh, I'm just a fisherman on Madison chain. I fish a lot of perch. But my quick question was, when can a person expect to do a little walleye fishing on the Wisconsin River, especially by the Wisconsin Dells area? When will that heat up?
Well, they have a pretty good bite. Actually, it's been going on for a couple weeks. I'll tell you a good source if you have a pen. Look on the website and put in River's Edge Resort. They have a dock cam, which is right on their dock there, right on the, and you're looking out on the river, and it's constantly, I think they change your photograph every half an hour or so. But the guy up there to talk to, his name is Botch, B-O-T-C-H, and it's River's Edge Resort. They have been fishing up there for, probably a good 2-3 weeks. I mean, it's not the peak of the season yet. Like Larry and I said earlier, we're talking about water temperature right now, 34, 35 degrees. So most of the fish you're going to be catching are going to be smaller males, saugers and walleyes, both that are going to come to your areas and stage before the females arise.
Arrive. Staging in deep holes right now, or
yeah, and then also too, people have to remember that not every walleye goes all the way up to the dam. Walleyes will find good areas to stage and spawn, you know, miles below any of the rivers. It's
right.
Just that, you know, you come to the dam. That's the first impediment that actually stops the fish. A lot of fish will filter back down in your system, and so don't just always go to the pack of boats there right below the dam. I mean, do a little experimentation and try some other areas. You may not find as many fish, but you may find better quality fish.
Yeah, the first place I don't like going by crowds anyways. I go by the crowd to see what it's like, and then I'll kind of drift away.
Same thing like ice fishing. If you're a perch fisherman, you know, you see where the guys, all of them are, and then you kind of get away from them, you know.
Yeah.
And you're also going to, you know, that's, I mean, there's, you know, more people just bring a lot more noise. They're going to spook a lot of fish. And that's why I would try and get out on your own a little bit. But if you're, you know, familiar with the Dells, get down that River's Edge area down by the cables, and you can do a real good drift down there. And what's been working is an 1/4-ounce lime green and green jig. No plastic, just a jig and a minnow, and then drifting and keeping that as vertical as you can. So I don't care whatever weight jig you have to use, but you got to be vertical, and you got to be able to touch that bottom and have contact.
That was my next question. Thank you.
Because if you don't have, if you don't know where that jig is, you're not going to know where if a walleye hits it. And a walleye can, you know, they don't bite. They suck in air and they flare their gills, and they can bring in a minnow and, you know, in a jig, and you won't even know it.
Yeah, I was going to tell if any Madison guys are listening around, perch fishermen on Monona, that bite was really good around Wildhaven in 50, 55 feet of water. Now that school has moved out to the middle of the lake.
And on Mendota right now, they're still getting some perch there. You're getting them off the Commodore out in 65, 70 feet of water. You know, you're getting bad access right now, and some places you're going to probably start to have to put planks on to get on the water, and the ice. You have to be very, very careful, though. But once you get on, there's plenty of good ice still. And, I mean, Mendota is going to have ice probably, you know, well into April.
Yeah, we put a plank off Wildhaven already. It was just getting slushy, but when we got out toward the 50-foot of water, there's 22 inches of nice ice.
Yeah, there's good ice, but you're going to have, you know, a four-wheeler, and if you do have, you know, an ATV, and have chains on it, because, you know, you can get pretty slushy and bogged down in shallower water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was sticking around Monona, because Mendota, I talked to Gene Dillinger a lot, and it was a little slow on that lake this year, but
2-4-1, big fish.
Yeah, we hammered it on Monona, and they're still biting.
Yep. There's a perch fishing there'll be great perch fishing right up until ice out. And that's true of northern Wisconsin, too. I talked to some good friends up in Minocqua, Russ Smith, and he says they got almost 3 feet of ice still up there, and the perch fishing is fantastic.
Yeah. What I like about late season is the perch start bunching up big time now, and you can find them big schools, and they don't separate until near the real late end.
And you also have to remember, too, that your walleyes are going to be spawning. Actually, your northern pike spawn first at about 39 degrees. Then come your walleyes in your low to mid-40s. And then next, actually, is perch. So your perch will be schooling up, and they will even move shallower.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Appreciate the call. Roger in Menasha, it's your turn. Hi, Roger.
Hi. My question is, I'd like to I don't keep a lot of fish, but I do like to eat the fish, and I was wondering, I live up here in the Fox Valley, and I want to know, you know, where is it safe to eat the fish up here?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're still working on that project on the Fox River, but...
Yeah, Fox River was one of the major cleanup areas as far as the government, as far as their, I think, their super cleanup areas, and... the best thing I can do is recommend is probably to go on the DNR website, and I think it's www.dnr.gov or .org, and you can find out where there are fish advisories on what waters there are, and I think they do publish a few pamphlets. One of the things is I've always complained about, there isn't enough, they sell a lot more licenses than pamphlets that they actually produce. I think everyone should have one of those when you purchase a license. But look on the website and you'll find out the waters. And I know that, you know, some areas of Lake Winnebago, and if you get in the upper lakes in Poygan and Butamore and Winneconne up there, you do have a few fish advisories, but they also are for if you would eat, you know, a considerable amount of fish like every day. If you're eating fish, you know, once or twice a week, probably not too much problems. And most of the time, most of your fish advisories relate more to young children and to women that are pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks, Raj.
Thank you.
Jim, and let's see. Well, let's go to Jim here. Hi, Jim.
Hey. I got Wally here.
We got Gary.
Okay, I got Gary. Okay, I talked to you up the Dells there when you had that at the sports show a couple weeks ago.
But
you told me the same thing you're talking about on the radio. And I live on the river here, but when you mentioned these cables, I should have asked you then, where are those cables?
Oh, they're down there, not that far down past the River's Edge Resort.
Are they south of the River's Edge?
Yeah, it'll be south.
Okay, I know where the big rock outcroppings come out there, and there's another.
I mean, all that area down there, and the point is, though, that, you know, you just don't have to be right up there by the cliffs. They're up there, you know, right by where they keep the tour boats, you know, to catch fish.
Right.
You know, as far as you can get down there in stretches of water, you know, try some new bodies, you know, some new areas where you haven't fished before. But just remember, the techniques are going to stay the same, you know, and then try and, you know, get yourself a decent drift. Or if you find a good area where there might be a back eddy or something like that, those are good areas where you can anchor up. And maybe, you know, just cast and float a jig down. Because like we were saying before, you know, your walleyes, your saugers, they like to hide behind something. They'll see the bait go, or your bait will go going by. They'll dash out and, you know, and hit it and then go return to their spot. So you can do some casting and then also have a line over the side of the boat and or do a drift.
Mm-hmm. These cables you're talking about, are they overhead or under water?
Under.
Okay, so you can't, there's no way to know where they are. Okay.
But if you ask anyone, talk to them at the river's edge. I mean, people, you know, you'll find boats there. I guarantee that.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with the area, but I have never seen any cables on
right.
any place in the area.
It's more or less an old nomenclature that's just been around for us old-timers.
So it's quite a ways north of the boat landing from down at Pine Island.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All righty. Okay. Thanks, Wally.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Robert in Prairie du Chien, it's your turn. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Listen, I don't currently do any fishing, but it's something I'm interested in getting started. One of my only experiences was as a kid, an uncle took me, and it was, you know, spending a whole day sitting out in a boat watching a bobber, and it was just, it seemed very boring.
Not to interrupt, but that's one of the main things I tell people when they're taking children fishing is don't take your child if you're going out walleye fishing or something where you're not going to have a whole bunch of action or you might only have a bite or two a day. Take them out where it doesn't make any difference what they're catching as far as species, just as long as there's action and you want nonstop action, and that's how you get children hooked on fishing.
Well, I'm interested in doing something, you know, now that would be more active.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for me, you know, considering I know nothing right now,
not that it's a vocation of mine and that I guide, but in your area, I would try and find a decent guide or, you know, you have a big Cabela's out there, and I'm sure that they have a lot of spring seminars and clinics. I would go and try and hear as many people as I can, you know, a people who are professionals and, you know, fish for a living, and try and pick up some tidbits and listen to people, read as much as you can. There's an, you know, unlimited amount of information now on the internet, you know, click in fishing or whatever you want to do, or an area or a state, and you'll have just oodles of information. You know, I mean, even on, you can check my website out. There's a lot for novices, there for professionals or anything. But there's just, you know, read magazines, go to seminars, watch TV shows, and then when you want to go on the water, I suggest that you do a little bit of research, talk to some people, and get a guide from the area that really would know the waters. And there, you know, a good guide is going to, he's not worried about you going back to the spots where he took you fishing. You know, have someone who knows the waters that'll teach you some things.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And what's your website again, Gary, by the way?
www.GaryEngberg Outdoors. That's GaryEngberg outdoors.com.
All right. You can join in, too, with a question at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And, you know, as I look, just thinking about getting started, as I look at the cost is not really all that great anymore. I mean, you can get some pretty good reels, spinning reels and rods and, you know, your lines and so forth for a fairly small amount of money.
I was talking with one of my fellow guides, Wally Banfi, and he, beside guiding, he's one of the managers up at the Wilderness Fish and Game Store in Sauk City. And I was amazed. I'm not a great fly fisherman, but I was out, and they had a fly rod and reel and everything for $19.95. You know, yeah. And I bought one myself because I'm going to do more fly fishing. If I can, you know, I have a little trouble with arthritis in the shoulders, but I'm going to start doing it. But a person can get, you know, a spinning, a rod, and a reel, you know, for $20, $25. You can get outfitted and be ready to fish. Not that expensive of a sport. You know, I mean, once the weather warms up a little bit, you can catch your own worms. You know, if you live near a body of water, you can even trap your own minnows. Like I do my own minnow trapping on the Wisconsin River. I mean, it doesn't have to be that expensive of a sport. You know, one of your major expenses is going to be a license.
Yeah. Yeah, and the license isn't really all that expensive.
No, I mean, it's very, very reasonable. Can say if you put in the time, I mean, if you only go fishing one or two times a year, maybe so. But if you're going to be doing it, it's a very, as far as an entry-level thing, it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Dan and Prairie du Chien is next. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys. Got a question. I was out fishing this morning, actually, up at the dam by Linksville, and I hooked quite a few walleyes up under the chin, and, you know, I threw them back. I was told by a guy that those fish are pinning the jig to the bottom. I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that. Am I snagging those fish, or are they actually pinning it to the bottom?
Oh, well, I've never actually heard the term pinning the bottom myself. You might be snagging them. All right, in your presentation, are you? What's your jigging cadence? Or are you just letting it sit there, or are you?
I'm vertical jigging. I had an 8-ounce jig head with a twister, you know, tipped with a.
Yeah, and you're keeping it pretty slow presentation.
Yeah, real slow.
No stinger hook.
I did have a stinger hook, yeah.
See, once in a while, that's why you might be catching them on the stinger. And like I said, you know, with wanting such a slow, slow presentation right now, those fish, you know, you might be foul hooking a couple of them. But usually, if you're foul hooking them, you're getting them underneath the lower lip.
Right, underneath, yeah, under the lower lip.
Well, that's not, I don't think you're going to be foul hooking them there. You know, these fish are just going to, they might be just biting a little bit short.
Okay.
And I would, you know, as if you, a stinger hook, or if you're foul hooking them, usually it's going to be, you know, somewhere else in their body or up in their head, not usually going to be underneath the lip.
So is that a legal fish if I hook one up under
the
chin?
If it's in the face, it's legal.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Will in Lake Nabagamon, it's your turn now. Hi, Will.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. I got a question about bass fishing. I like to slay the bass, and I found that hula poppers work pretty good, and or power bait on a spinner. But I just don't feel like I'm catching as many as I should. Maybe I'm wondering what kind of colors or presentations to use with those things, or maybe you can suggest something else.
Well, that's going to vary. You know, it's kind of a general question, but it's going to vary depending on the time of year. Usually as your water warms up, something like hula poppers have been around forever. And, I mean, that's an old classic. And that's, you know, a topwater bait. Usually you're going to have that, be using that more or less during your summer months when we have a lot, you know, warmer water temperatures. A good year-round bait is a spinner bait. And all you can, you know, is either, you know, a single blade or a tandem blade spinner bait. And like you said, power baits are great. You know, people nowadays, you don't even have to use live bait. I really highly recommend, you know, any of that Berkeley Gulp or any of the power baits. You know, they're scent impregnated baits. They're biodegradable. They last a long time. You don't have to worry about if you don't want to be putting on worms or minnows. You know, they're excellent that way. But a spinner bait, you know, you can slow roll it. You can speed it up. You can, but you know, you can, depending on the time of the year, you know, how quick your retrieve is one of the main variables you have there. And, you know, you just have to follow your patterns as far as bass and see where they're going to be relating at the different times of the year. And that's why I do a little research and try and figure, you know, early in the year, you know, until water warms up, all your fish are going to be relatively shallow. And bass are always going to relate again to structure and be that wood or weeds, you know, or whatever is there. You know, and another really good presentation that you can use year-round is a pig and jig, you know, a jig in any type of pork rind or plastic, or those Berkeley now makes something called a jigger craw, which is excellent. I saw Al Linder using it the other day on his TV show, and I had just done an interview for my radio show with him, and he was talking about this jigger craw, and I happened to see it, and it's, you know, it's just an addition you'll add on to your, you know, your jig and skirt, but it seems to work real well. Colors vary. You know, people say if you're dealing with dingy, dark, stained water, you know, use a lot of brighter colors. Use colors, you know, that have more flash. You know, use a gold blade that's going to show up better. But then sometimes in darker waters, you know, a dark, like even a purple or a black, it'll give a different profile, and sometimes they work. So the best thing is just have a good assortment and experiment.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for calling. Gary, on your website, you've got some great photos of some fish being taken out of a Madison lake here, Lake Wingrove.
Well, there was a kind of a combined effort with the DNR. I mean, they've been doing a study since 2005, and Kurt Welke and Scott Harpold and Dick Brandt are some of the individuals. Kurt Welke's our fishery manager here in Dane County, who does a great job. But they started in 2005. They, you know, sectioned off an area in Lake Wingra where they did substantial carp netting, and they also did some fin clipping and some radio collars on the fish to see where they go at different times of the year. And they also are trying to find out if it's totally carp and rough fish that are affecting, you know, your turbidity and, you know, your cloudiness of the water. And then through the course of the years, they've been doing different studies, and it's the Friends of Lake Wingra, the DNR, the city, the university, Edgewood College, the county, about everyone's involved in the study. They've contracted with a commercial fisherman, Bob Kallenbach from La Crosse area, who brings in his crew. And what they actually do is they have a radio-controlled little submersible-type submarine that sets the nets. And they're putting out 3,000 feet of net underneath the ice in Lake Wingra. And it's done by this little submarine, and it's remote-controlled like a model airplane would be. And so then they have a winch, and they bring in the two ends of the net that they have set up there. And it's like a big sock, and they're bringing in all the rough fish. And between carp, buffalo, a lot of gar, you know, I think they took almost 40,000 pounds out of Lake Wingra, you know, in a few days of netting. So, and then also, too, we bring, you know, you will catch some of the game fish. And, you know, we brought in substantial number of muskies and even a few walleyes.
Mm-hmm. And those get returned.
All the game fish, we had a hole there right by the big hole where the net was coming out of. And as soon as, you know, there was DNR technicians right there with nets, they'd scoop them out of with the rough fish right away and then put them right back within probably, you know, 15, 30 seconds of when they're taken out. They're right back in the water.
Right back in the water. You mentioned guides, and I really do think that, well, you're a guide, so you're going to be biased in favor. But
I'm not biased.
I really think it's great to be able to go out with a guide once in a while, and you learn a lot.
Well, that's, but you still have to, but there are different, you know, I hope I'm considered a decent guide, and I hope that, you know, if you get a guide, there's all different levels like there isn't anything, but do some research and find someone who might recommend a guide to you, someone who's been out with this person, you know, because there's some guys who are maybe just going out there to, you know, to go fishing and then get a paycheck, but there's some guys who are going to go out there and they want you to catch fish, they want to teach you, they want to educate you, they want to show you, you know, what they're doing and how to catch fish, and that's the whole purpose.
And if a member of the Guides Association is probably a good idea then.
Yeah, like I said, we have in this area, it's called the Four Lakes Guide Association. It was initially formed, I think, probably 25, 30 years ago by Wally Banfey and Charlie Grimm here in Madison. And now we still have full-time guides and part-time guides. We've got Wally Banfey, Tony Puccio, who's a professional walleye angler in the area, Lee Talkin, who's probably one of the best muskie fishermen there is, spends half of the summer up in Mille Lacs in Minnesota, Terry Fry, who also is a captain's license. He specializes on the Mississippi River. And then this year we added Ryan Bearfield, who's another excellent guide and full-time fisherman. So between the six of us, we have someone who's usually fishing all the time. People are fishing different bodies of water. We share our information, and we're trying to always be on fish.
Gary, thank you so much. Again, what's your give us your web again.
My web is www.GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. Get back to me anytime. There's a way to contact me on there, and I'm constantly changing. I have up-to-date fishing reports from all up and down the rivers in Wisconsin. I try and do those once or twice a week, and the information is always refreshed regularly, and you'll find a lot of very good information.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Engberg.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin. Great to have him with us, and he'll be back, and we'll do this again with him. We'll talk some more.
We got the open water season.
Yeah, we got the open water season coming up. He'll be back. We'll do it again. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at income tax preparation. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.